Amen. Appreciate you ladies singing that. Joshua chapter number 20 in your Bibles today. Joshua chapter 20. Joshua chapter number 20 in our Bibles. Notice there in verse number 1 of Joshua chapter number 20. Brother Dwayne, if you would crank that down just a tad bit there, getting a little feedback. Joshua chapter 20 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out of you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him unto the city, unto them, and shall give him a place, that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city, and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled." Father, thank you for your word today. And I pray that as we look at the cities of refuge, Lord, that we would examine our own hearts and lives. And Lord, find out if we truly are born again and saved and a child of the King. And Lord, if we are, I pray that we would live in the freedom that you provide for us. Help me as I preach. I thank you, Lord, for the song that was just sung for us. Lord, thank you for the salvation that's in Christ. And I pray that you help us this morning as we listen. May you speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. On Monday, maybe Tuesday, I was out working. I was out busy working on the house. And I got a text message on my phone. I looked down at that thing. And you know how text messages are. Sometimes they come at perfect times and you're able to respond right away. And then there's sometimes when they come at, you know, annoying times. Like, for instance, if you are a local to Huntsville here, you know, you can sign up for the app that lets you know the traffic alerts and the weather alerts and all those different things. And they'll text you at 3 in the morning. You know, there's a house fire, so the street is closed. That's an annoying text message. You know what I'm saying? I want the text message when there's a tornado coming toward me, not, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, there's an accident. But I looked down at my phone. There was a text message from my credit card company, Chase. And they said fraud alert. Did you know, spend $582.40 on your Facebook page? And I said, no, I don't think so. You know, so I'm still working away. And I got another text message. We need you to respond right now. A fraud alert. You know, and I looked down again. I ignored that text message. Well, an hour later, when I was all cleaned up, I got back on the phone with Chase, and I said, hey, listen, I did not authorize those. I've been hacked by Facebook, and obviously, I did not, you know, purchase these different, you know, ads that Facebook said I purchased for them. And I remember I had to just go through the gamut of getting my credit card back up and going. I had to, you know, get the credits onto my account. You know, I think about when somebody has fraud on their credit card, man, it's a headache. Many times you have to get a new credit card sent in the mail. Many times you have to call and you have to plead how you're really innocent and you're not guilty of making that purchase. As we come to Joshua chapter number 20, I'm reminded of that scenario that played out in my own life this past week. The Bible talks about the cities of refuge. As the Israelites were getting ready to go into the promised land, God spoke to Moses and he said, Moses, he said, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to place 6 cities very strategically in Israel. And the purpose of these cities, they're designed for those that have killed somebody accidentally. I want them to go to those cities, and I want them to find refuge in that city until the case is heard before the court system. And to understand this morning that God was opposed to murder. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. And the Bible is clearly anti it. But the illustration was given of 2 men that were out in the field. And then they're cutting down their trees. They're falling their trees. I didn't know that was the correct term when you're cutting trees down, but you fall your trees. It doesn't sound like proper English to me. But that's what they tell me, the professional tree guys that I know. You go fall a tree. But men, they're out there and they're hacking away with their axe and they're falling trees. Well, as they're out and they're cutting these trees down, all of a sudden that axe head goes flying off, and if it was to strike another individual and that individual died, that man was to flee to the city of refuge. Why? Because he didn't hate that guy he was working with. He did not want him to be killed, but it was an accidental death. And so they were to go and they were to flee to that city. And as they were in the city, the Bible says that there would be a pursuer of blood. That would be a relative. That would be a family friend. That would be a brother or an uncle or a cousin that would go after the life of that person that killed their brother. And so get the picture. Here's the one that, you know, killed that guy out in the field. He's running toward the city. He's guilty party. Here comes the avenger of blood. He's after him to kill him because of what he did and to stamp out that murder. And they would come to the city of refuge, and then the city of refuge, their case would be heard. As we study this passage, as we look at this passage, one thing that you will see throughout these verses is the reality of this city of refuge is exactly what Jesus Christ has done for you and for me. Would you notice, first of all, here, the purpose of the cities? Why were the cities set up in verse number 3? It says that the slayer that killeth any persons unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. The purpose of this city was for those that were innocent, though they had killed somebody, those that did not have wrong intentions. The purpose of that city was to be there for to protect those innocent people until the case was heard. Let me just say this morning, friend, that's exactly what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross of Calvary. You see, I was guilty before God. Oh, when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, I know many people say, well, the Jews killed Jesus. The Roman soldiers were the ones that killed Jesus as they put the nails into his hands and into his feet, and the crown of thorns was placed upon his head. It was the Roman soldiers' fault. Let me say, child of God, that each and everybody here this morning, that each and every one of us, we're the ones that put Christ on the cross. You see, Jesus Christ came to die, to give his life a ransom for many. He came to die for you. He came to give, shed his blood so that way you and I might have forgiveness of sin. And if you had been the only sinner in this whole entire world, Jesus Christ still would have left the throne of heaven. He would have been born in that manger. He would have grown up in obscurity. He would have went to that cross and he would have shed his royal rich blood so that way you might have forgiveness. When I was a stranger and when I was an alien from God, God loved me so much that he said, I'm going to send Jesus to die on that cross. Hey, the reality is, like that individual that fled to the city of refuge, so you and I, we were responsible for the Savior's death. And what does the Savior offer? He says, hey, I'm offering to you salvation. I'm offering to you a place where you can have your sins taken away. I'm offering you a place of safety and comfort and security. Hey, it's a place where you can come and you can find forgiveness under the blood of Jesus Christ. This purpose of the city was for that manslayer, for that one that killed somebody accidentally, to go and find refuge there. But would you notice here the picture of the city? We saw the purpose, but what is the picture? The picture represents Christ. Look in verse number 4. It says, and when he that doth flee unto one of these cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of the city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. This city, it's a picture, it's an illustration of our Lord Jesus Christ. What was so special about this city? Well, notice, first of all, how the city was accessible by all. The city was strategic. There were 6 different cities all up Israel. Hey, wherever you are at, wherever you may have committed a crime or something took place, there was a city that was close by for you to run to. Can I say this morning, friend, that I'm so thankful that there is a city of refuge for me. I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ is accessible for all. You don't have to be part of, you know, this sector to go to heaven. It's not, well, only these elect get to go to heaven. No, salvation is for all. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. It's just not a few. It's not a select group. Salvation is for anybody, friend. And it does not matter your background. It doesn't matter what you've done in your past. It doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank or how little you have. It doesn't matter what your social standing may be. You say, well, Pastor, you just don't understand my past. I may not understand your past, but Jesus Christ on the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And if Jesus Christ was willing to die on that cross and forgive my sin, and he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We ought to take the Savior up on that offer, and we ought to enter into the city of salvation. It was accessible by all. And verse number 7 and verse number 8, the Bible talks about where these cities were appointed. It says it was being Kadesh in Galilee, in the mountain. It talks about the mountain. It talks about being on a hill. It talks about being on a plain, these different cities. Everybody knew where the cities were at. Hey, it wasn't, you know, hide and seek, where's the city at? But no, everybody knew where they were at because of how they were placed on the hill. They were placed at a place where everybody could see them. So is salvation, friend. Salvation is not something that's secretive. It's not something that, you know, you got to do this, 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 and this. No, hey, salvation is accessible for all. It's accessible for you. Can I ask you this morning, have you come to Christ? Has there been a time in your life when you ran to the city of refuge, where you, by faith alone, apart from works, availed yourself of that free gift? Well, think about the accessibility. It was right there for all. It didn't matter where you lived at in Israel. The city of refuge would be close. It does not matter what race, social status, your income, your height. Jesus Christ says, come on me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Can I say this morning, friend, that the Savior extends his offer of salvation to you and to me? You know, so many times we think about the Savior and his accessibility. We think about verses like John 3:16. For God so loved the world. You know, we talk about, you know, God loved the world. God loved the world. Boy, what a wonderful thing that is, that God would love humankind. But you know what the Bible goes on? The Bible says in Ephesians that husbands are to love their wives even as Christ loved the church. The Bible says not only did Jesus love the world, but Jesus loved the church. I'm glad I can be a part of the church. He loved the church. But it says in Galatians 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. And he gave himself for me. Understand, not only did God love the world, not only did Christ love the church, but Jesus Christ loves me. And Jesus Christ extends that invitation. Here's the city of refuge. Here's a city, boy, you've committed a crime. Something's happened in the past. It's a city for you to run to and find salvation. I wonder this morning, have you taken advantage of that accessibility of the Saviors of the city? We see, number one, it was accessible. Number two, it was available. The Bible says there in verse number four again, it says, and when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his case in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. Number two, it's the availability. Man, the Bible never says the door was closed. This was a 24-hour city. Man, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. This city was open for business all the time. You know, most cities would, when the evening time would come, they would close the gates. Most of those cities would bar the doors. Man, you could not enter into many cities in the evening time. It was a way to keep the city safe. But understand this morning that the city of the availability of Christ is open for all. It doesn't matter if it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Doesn't matter if it's 7 o'clock in the morning. Doesn't matter if it's at lunchtime. Dear friend, when the Holy Spirit puts you under that deep conviction and you realize that you're lost and on your way to the devil's hell, and you realize that Jesus Christ died on that old rugged cross for you and shed his blood, hey, it doesn't matter if you're by yourself, on your bed like I was as an 11-year-old boy, or here at the church altar, or with mama, by mama's bedstand. It doesn't matter where you're at, the availability of Christ for salvation is available to all. It's at any time, any place. The door was never shut. The Bible says in Revelation 3, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. I wonder this morning, have you accessed that availability? Has there been that time in your life when you've come to Christ? We see the accessibility of the city. We see the availability of the city is open. We see it's the only alternative. The only thing that the one that killed his friend unawares in verse 3, and he fled, the only place he could go was to that city. He couldn't go and run down to the lawyer's office. He couldn't go say to his family, hey, protect me. No, if that took place, the only option was for him to go to that city and allow his case to be heard in the ears of the elders of that city. Let me say this morning, the only way you're going to go to heaven is by going God's way. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. It's not a church membership role. It's not, well, I taught this Sunday school class, I was baptized, I've done all these good works, it should earn me merit with God. No, dear friend, the Bible says all our righteousness is as filthy rags. The only alternative for you to escape the wrath that would come because of our sin in the lake of fire is to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said it this way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Bible says that straight is the way and narrow is the way that leadeth to life everlasting. And few there be that find it. Why? Because broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. You know, we got that. We see that being played out all over the world. Man, there are many religious people. There are many people that say, well, you know, I pray to Mary. I try to do good works. I try to accomplish these great things, and it should earn favor with God. And when I stand before Peter, before Jesus, my good works will outweigh my bad works. Listen, friend, your good works will not stack up before a holy and righteous God. The only alternative for you to go to heaven, to escape the wrath to come in the lake of fire, is to go to the city of refuge, Jesus Christ. Can I ask you today? Have you taken advantage of that alternative? They could not hire a lawyer to defend them. They had to go to the city for salvation. The only way to go to heaven is through Jesus Christ. So we see the accessibility. We see it was available. The door was never shut. The only alternative. But I love this, how it was all-inclusive. Look in verse number 4. Again, it says toward the middle of the part, and it says, they shall take him into the city unto them. And notice this, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. I love this. The city was all-inclusive. It was all-inclusive. What were they doing? They were to take him in. They were to give him a place to stay. They were to feed him. They were to take care of him until that day came when the avenger of blood came and his case would be heard. Let me say, friend, this morning, when somebody places their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they get the whole package. There's not a second work of grace. There's not, well, you know, you do this and this and this and then you get this. No, when somebody gets saved, it's all-inclusive. Have you ever been to an all-inclusive resort? I remember, Lily 7. So 7 years ago, I flew to the Bahamas and I preached a revival meeting there for the first time. And that was wonderful. You say, Pastor, why was it wonderful? Because I got to go to the Bahamas. You say, what was negative about it? Well, Chrissy had just had Lily, so she didn't go with me. So I hung out in the Bahamas. It's suffering, you know. So, by the way, somebody had to suffer, all right? And so here am I, send me, right? We'll go suffer. But I remember I preached a revival in the Bahamas. Had a great time, and I loved it. Man, I ate great food, awesome hotel, and man, just, you know, I put on like 10 pounds that week. It was awesome. I love all-inclusive hotels, right? Well, I was there, and the pastor, his wife was sick, and so he was not there for all but the last service. And his assistant pastor, he took care of me the week, fed me, went, you know, ate big time, all that stuff. And so the pastor's taking me to the airport on Saturday morning. He said, Preacher, he said, we want you to come back and preach another revival meeting. He said, would you come back in 2 years and bring your wife with you? But he said, I need somebody to preach a youth meeting for me next summer. Do you know anybody that you could recommend? Well, a friend of mine by the name of Sam Mills, he's a youth pastor in North Carolina. Great preacher. I said, yeah, preacher. I said, have Sam Mills come preach for you. So he called Sam up, and he said, Sam, he said, I want you to come and I want you to preach for me. And Sam flew over to the Bahamas, stayed at the same hotel I stayed at. And Sam got back, and I called him up. I said, how'd it go, Sam? He said, man, we had a great meeting, great time. I said, how'd you enjoy the food? He said, well, preacher, he said, I went down to the restaurant one day. He said, I looked at the prices. And, man, for the buffet, just a, you know, normal breakfast buffet, he said it was like $27 or whatever, you know, crazy prices. He said, I had my wife and my kids with me. And so we decided that day that we weren't going to eat the buffet. We weren't going to eat the food, but instead we were going to eat peanut butter sandwiches from the local grocery store. You know, I said, Sam, I said, you're an idiot, first of all. I said, the meal, it was all inclusive. That means you can go to the buffet as many times as you want. You can have as many omelets as you want. You can eat that conch salad as much as you want. I mean, everything you want, it's all inclusive, Sam. And what are you doing? You're eating peanut butter sandwiches from the local grocery store. Let me just say, that's dumb right there, all right? He did not avail himself of the all-inclusive resort, right? He had peanut butter. You know, unfortunately, though, that's exactly where many of God's people are at this morning. You trust Christ to be your Savior. You're in the city of refuge. There, the Savior will lead, guide, and direct your life. And what are you doing? Like the song was, you're eating on the husk that surrounds you. The prodigal son, what did he do? He was part of the, he was in the father's family, and yet he made the choice to leave the comfort of home. He made the choice to leave the security of a father that loved him and a dad that took care of him. And he went down to that, well, to the city, lived a wicked life away from God, spent all that he had, and he's eating the pig food. In an all-inclusive resort, eating pig food. That's where many of us are at this morning. Boy, God has a plan for your life. What are you doing? You're not partaking of the benefits that come from being saved. Instead, you're living a life out of the will of God like the Israelites. You're wandering in the wilderness, not in the promised land like the seven tribes we talked about yesterday. You're not claiming the promised land. You're still living in the tent. Hey, child of God, it's about time that we move to the city and we enjoy all the benefits that come with Christ, living for Christ. I wonder, are you partaking of those benefits? Are you eating the good food? Are you enjoying your salvation? Hey, Jesus has made a way for you to go. He's made a way for you to enjoy the abundant life. He said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The best people in our country ought to be Christians. Why? Because they're partaking in the benefits that come serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, are you partaking in that? Hey, your marriage ought to be the best marriage because you're enjoying the bounty of serving the Lord Jesus Christ together. Hey, this church ought to be the best church in Huntsville. Why? Because we're living a life with the blessings of God upon our life. Hey, the city was designed to take care of those that fled to the city until their case was heard. We see, number one, the city was accessible. It was on a hill. It was accessible for all. By the way, it didn't matter your race. It didn't matter what your background was. Jew and Gentile, like, they had accessibility to the city. It was available. The door was never shut. It was the only alternative. It was all-inclusive. But I love this. Look down in verse number six. It says, and he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. I love this, how this is a picture of Christ. The death of the high priest. When the high priest died, there came freedom. You see that individual that fled to the city and the elders of that city heard the case? They would come back with that verdict. Yes, it was accidental death. He did not purpose to kill him. There was no ill will toward him. It was not murder out of anger. It was accidental death. Man, so what would happen? That slayer that would stay in that city. He'd stay in that city until the high priest died. When the high priest passed away, that slayer could go home. He could again enjoy the benefits that came from whence he surrounded himself with before that incident. What happened? With the death of the high priest came complete forgiveness. What a beautiful picture. You see, the Old Testament, man, the only way to have your sins covered was to take a lamb and have that lamb slain. And boy, that lamb, as that lamb was slain and put on the altar, that blood was a temporal covering for the sins of those that committed. But all those years ago, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus died on the cross, he was our high priest. When our high priest shed his blood, when the death of the high priest took place, understand, he rose again from the grave. That's when, dear friend, we can enjoy true forgiveness and we can walk in liberty. Why? Because Christ has taken away our sins completely. I wonder this morning, has there been that time in your life when your sins were put under the blood of Jesus Christ? Is he your Savior? Oh, we talk about him being the Savior of the world. We talk about all that Christ has done. But I wonder, have you personalized it in your life? Have you run to that city? Is Christ your Savior? But you know, we see the purpose of the city. We see the picture of the city. It represents Christ. But the difference between Christ and the city, there's one thing. The Bible talks about there in verse number 3, it says that the slayer that killeth any persons unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. You know the difference between Christ and the city? Is the city only took innocent individuals. The only way you're going to go and live in that city was if you were an innocent person. What does that mean? That means that you're out in the field, man, you have that axe, man, you're chopping away that tree, that axe handle goes flying off, and it strikes your friend or your fellow co-worker, and that individual dies. You run to the city, your court case is there, and they hear your case. I did not hate this guy. He was my friend, my co-worker for all these years. Man, we had birthday parties together. Man, you know, I took care of his kids when they went on vacation. He took care of my kids. I'm talking about we were tight, we were friends. I didn't mean to. It was an accident. And the elders of that city would hear the case, and they would come back with that verdict, you're innocent. Well, if you were guilty, you understand, the punishment for your guilt was instant death. You know, it wasn't like murder today. If you murder somebody, mean you're going to sit in jail for a couple years until they take your case to trial? If they come back with guilty, you're guilty and we're going to execute you? Man, the appeals process is like 15 to 20 years. It's insane. That's not the case in the Bible. If you killed somebody and the verdict was guilty, you were executed for the crime that you committed. Well, you understand, friend, the city of refuge only received innocent victims, innocent people. But I'm so thankful this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ accepts all. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what your past may be. The invitation is open for you. I love that song that goes, "Guilty, vile, and selfish we. Spotless Lamb of God was He. Full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior." Can I ask you this morning, friend, have you come to the Savior as guilty, vile, and helpless? Have you, has there been a time in your life that you realized that you were lost, that you were guilty before a holy God, that you were guilty of lust, and you were guilty of wrong thoughts, and you were guilty, you're selfish, and boy, you did not honor God. I mean, down the list we could go. You were guilty before God. You realized that Jesus Christ was the only way to salvation, and you left your own security, and you went to the city of refuge. Has there been that time in your life? Can you go back to that day? Can you go back to that day? Can you go back to that moment? You say, "Well, Pastor, I don't remember the exact date, but can you remember the moment?" I'll never forget, 11 years old, sitting on my bed. I said, "Lord Jesus, I want you to save me. And by faith alone, apart from works, I trusted Christ to be my Savior." Can you go back to that point? Paul could say, "I was on that Damascus road, on my way to kill Christians, and that's when I trusted God, trusted Christ to be my Savior." Can you go back to that time in your life when you fled for refuge to the Lord Jesus Christ? If not this morning, friend, instead of leaving here religious, instead of leaving here lost, why don't you leave here today knowing Christ as your personal Savior? The city of refuge, the purpose was a shelter for those that were innocent. The picture of the city represents Christ. He's accessible. He's available. He's the only alternative. He's all-inclusive. But I'm so thankful the difference between Christ and the city is that city only received innocent people. Christ receives those that are guilty. And by the way, that's the only way you'll come to Christ, not proclaiming your innocency, but proclaiming your guiltiness. I'm a sinner in need of Christ. I wonder this morning, have you trusted Christ to be your city of refuge? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this beautiful illustration. Lord, the cities of refuge, they were designed to protect the innocent. Lord, I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ died to save the guilty. Lord, we're all guilty before you. We've all missed the mark. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I'm so thankful that you offer salvation to each and every one of us. Lord, for one today that has never trusted Christ to be their Savior, they're not sure that if they die today, they go to heaven. I pray that they would get that settled. Lord, let them not leave on their way to hell, but Lord, let them leave as a child of the Savior. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And in just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. But I wonder how many this morning would say, "Pastor Schwenke, I've never trusted Christ to be my Savior. I know I'm guilty. I know that before God, man, there's nothing that I can do to earn eternal life. And I realize that salvation is offered to me. It's accessible. And preacher, this morning, I want to turn from my sin. I want to trust Jesus Christ to be my personal Savior. I've never done that before, but I want to do that this morning. Would you pray for me, Pastor? I want to get that settled today. I want to know for sure I'm going to heaven. If that's you, you're not sure you're on your way to heaven this morning, but you want to get that settled today, I'd like to pray for you. Would you slip your hand up? I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out, but I'd like to pray for you. Pastor, I'm not sure if I die today and go to heaven, but I want to get that settled this morning. Would you pray for me? Here's my hand. Here's my hand. Good. I see that hand. Anybody else? Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure if I die today, I go to heaven, but I want to get that settled today. You raised your hand this morning. The Bible says that you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Jesus died for you, but you got to realize in order to go to heaven that you're guilty before Him. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." You're guilty. But Jesus Christ died on the cross and He offers you salvation. And He says, if you're willing to turn from your sin and you're willing to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. You're here today. You don't know Christ as your Savior. We'd love to give you that opportunity. And
And when we're in a stand, we're going to sing that hymn of invitation. I'd like to encourage you to step out of your seat, make your way forward, say, Pastor, I need to get that settled. Would you do that today? Father, thank you for your word. I thank you for speaking to our hearts and help us in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all take our hymn books and turn to hymn number 388 this morning. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. And you raise your hand, you're not sure you're on your way to heaven. Friend, why don't you step out of your seat as we stand together now. Make your way forward. Let's get that settled this morning. Christian, maybe God spoke to your heart. The altar is open. Let's do business with God this morning. As we sing hymn 388, would you come today? Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, as Chrissy plays through another verse of invitation. You hear this morning, you're not sure you're on your way to heaven. Friend, would you step out of your seat this morning right now? Nobody's looking. Would you come forward and say, Pastor, I want to be saved. I want to know for sure I'm going to heaven. Would you do that now? Don't leave this morning not knowing Christ as your Savior. The city is open. It's available for you. Christ is available for you. Would you come? Would you come? Let's sing that fourth verse. Oh, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being this morning. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my being, absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit, till all shall sing. Christ only, always living in me. Well, church, look up here real fast. We're getting ready to dismiss. But listen, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're not sure if you died today, you go to heaven. I'll be in the back. Please say something to me. Let's get that settled today. Man, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. The good seed of the Word of God's been sown. And I'd hate for you to be like Mr. John. I met him last week knocking on doors. Went through the whole plan of salvation. He knew he was a sinner. Knew Jesus Christ was the only way to go to heaven. I said, Mr. John, do you want to get that settled today? And he said, no, I want to do it on Saturday. I went by this week, I tried to follow up with him, and Mr. John doesn't even live at the house. The guy that was there at the house, I said, I'm looking for this guy. He said, I don't know who you're talking about. He said, I think you might be the neighbor, went over to the neighbor's house. He didn't have a clue who I was. All I'm saying is this, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed another opportunity to be saved. If Christ is dealing with you today, today, before you leave, get that taken care of. We'll take the Bible, show you from God's Word. If you're a lady, we'll have my wife take the Bible or another lady take the Bible, show you from the Bible how you can have a home in heaven. All righty, do that. But church, I want you to know we love you. Really do. And thank God for you. We pray for you guys every day. And if there's anything that we can do for you, please let us know. Call the church number. All the calls are forwarded to my phone, my cell number. And those of you that were visiting, if you would turn in those visitor cards. We'd just love to send you a little thank you card for coming. And if we can do anything for you, please let us know. But thanks so much for being here this morning.